All right, thought you would enjoy that this morning because isn't it true? And all the ladies would agree that sometimes we are the most messiest people in the house. That's just the way it is. It's okay. You can just agree with that. And we are the extra kid, the person who makes the biggest mess. It's the way it goes. So as we jump in today, we are going to veer a little bit off from Jacob this morning. Not a whole lot, but I want to talk about something specific that's going to come up in the next few weeks as we are working our way through this story. And let me start with say thank you for Pastor Ryan filling in. I kind of looked back, and over the last 6 weeks, he's preached three times and I preached three times. So it's just the way it's gone this summer. It's been kind of crazy with lots going on and different things happening around graduation. So I appreciate being able to have that opportunity to do the things we need to do and be gone. So remember, we're talking about what does it look like to trust the story that God is writing in your life. That's a huge challenge. I got to trust God and what he is doing in my life and the story that he is writing. And when I don't do that, I am tempted to take it over. I'm tempted to manipulate things. I'm tempted to operate out of a sense of fear. I'm tempted to do a lot of things I shouldn't do if I'm not trusting the story that God is writing in my life. So we're going to veer off a little bit today, as I said earlier, and we're going to talk about this idea of blessing. Now, the reason this is so important, it's going to show up in this story, and if we're not careful, we're going to go, why is it such a big deal that they're getting blessed, and why is one son mad at the other son for the way he operated and tricked him out of it? Why does that even matter? I mean, this doesn't happen in our day and age, so we're not certain maybe what's going on. But this is a really powerful thing. In fact, as we talk about it today, I want you to understand how powerful it is, and I want you to understand the impact of this that can have in our life. Their culture gave a blessing to the next generation. Okay? They officially did something to give a blessing to the next generation. We don't have anything really like this. It would be nice if we could start doing this and implementing something where we pass on a blessing to the next generation. But they had this all built in, okay? And it was not about money or possessions. If you look at that, the story of Jacob is going to split those two things up. It's going to say, wait a minute, don't get tied up in this because there's actually two pieces of this. There's a birthright. Esau was first. He was supposed to get a double portion of everything. So think about that as the money and possessions. And then there was this blessing that would get spoken over as well. And that's the part we're going to talk about today. Okay, we're going to get to the birthright next week when we're talking about that and how Jacob first acted to get the money and the possessions out of and get the most he could. But today is all about this spoken blessing over their life, which was done by the father, which always done by the father. Unless the father wasn't there, then it was normally the oldest son who would speak a blessing over the next generation. This is what happened. This is what took place. So my question this morning is, did your father bless you? I just want you to think about that for a moment. Well, what do you mean? Did he bless me? Did he encourage you? Did he speak truth over you? Did he bless you in the next generation? Because I think all of us, we have dad stories. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. For some of us, dad was not there. For some of us, dad was there and dad was great. When we think about this idea of blessing, did that really happen? So we all have different stories. You online, you have a different story when it comes to this. I just want you to think about this. Did your father bless you? Because ultimately at the end, I want you to be ready to bless that next generation in your family. Are you ready to actually do that? And to think about what that looks like on this Father's Day, that we would bless the next generation that is coming up. So I want you to see this is all built into the book of Genesis. So I want you to see that as we start here. The first blessing that was ever given was given by God to humans. Here it is. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. So the first thing God speaks, if God is going to speak after he creates Adam and Eve, he is going to speak a blessing. Isn't that interesting? It's not instruction. It's not thou shalt not. It's not. His first words are going to be words of blessing. I want you to be blessed, and I want you to bless, and I want you to continue to do that. But you find it elsewhere through this book of Genesis. You find it in Genesis chapter 9. Who is it doing it again? It is God doing it again. This is right after the flood, right? They are the only guys alive. So what does God do? He blessed Noah, and he blessed his sons. So God's already saying, well, if we're going to start over, we're going to start over. I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning, and I'm going to take you guys, you four guys, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to speak a blessing over you, and I'm going to bless you. Isn't that interesting? When God starts over, he starts over the same way, and he goes back to, I need to declare and speak a blessing over who is here. To Abram, when we're in Genesis chapter 12, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. So when God starts off and says, now I'm going to start with a person who is going to be a nation to ultimately bring my son, the Savior of the world, I'm going to bless him. And in fact, we have one more time I want to give you, because this is a situation where the father is dead. Rebecca's father is dead, and they, who is they, what would be her brothers, blessed Rebecca with these words. She is getting ready to be sent off. She's going to meet Isaac. They are going to be married, and they give her a blessing. Right? Dad's not there. It's our job. So the boys looked and said, okay, it's our job. We are going to bless you before you head off. In fact, the word is used 68 times in the book of Genesis. Obviously, that's a significant amount of time, okay? It doesn't appear one or two times, and I'm certainly not going to sit here and give you all 68 occurrences of this idea of the word blessed. But it's obviously serious. Now, why? Why in the first book of the Bible does this idea of blessing show up 68 times? And I think it's because the Israelites, this is who it was first written to. Think about, they're at Mount Sinai, they have left Egypt. And what does God want them to know? Hey, guess what? I'm creating a nation here, and we're going to have a new pattern set up. You know what that's going to be? We're going to bless one generation. You're going to bless the next generation. That's how I'm going to set it up. So guess what they're hearing all the time from the book of Genesis? Blessing, 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 blessing. You think of time to go, okay, we got it, okay? Did it take 10 times, 20, 30? I mean, God's just making sure it's all covered. And 68 times he's going to use that word to make sure they understand. That's what this looks like. We're going to set a pattern, and you are going to bless the next generation. Okay? So let me talk for a moment. What are the elements of this? Before we get into the questions we want to ask and the life application this morning. Elements of a blessing. You can find this in a book that has really gone through all these blessings in the book of Genesis and other places. The first one is meaningful touch. You will see that in a couple weeks when we talk about Jacob going, Isaac says, come near, let me touch you. Let me lay hands on you. There is a meaningful touch that is a part of I'm blessing you. Okay? I am blessing you. A hug. Hands on, something that is a meaningful touch to do that. A spoken message. There's a spoken message that's involved in all this. It's not, you are blessed. Okay, wonderful. Okay, there's actually something specific that is going to get attached to this. There's a specific message. Number three, it's attaching high value. So, in other words, you won't look at your kids and say, may you finish last in your class, okay? May you have the lowest paying job ever in your life, right? You wouldn't do that, okay? That's not how this works. You don't set the bar and say, well, gosh, I love you, honey, but we're setting the bar low, okay? You don't do that. You actually attach high value. In fact, some of the words that we go back to that seem prophetic are some of the words that Jacob spoke to his sons. And it's like, wow, he's got this high value of them. you're going to do great things, and God is going to bless you, and you're going to be like this. And he uses all these kind of word pictures to just attach this incredible high value. You're going to be awesome. You're going to be great. You're going to be the CEO. You're going to be in charge, right? Just high value, high value. I think you're going to be awesome. I think you're going to be incredible. The last two, picturing a special future. Your future is going to be great. I see blessing in your future. I see this. So you picture a special future. And then the last part, an active commitment. In other words, well, I said all the words. Isn't that enough? Nope. Nope, it's not enough. It's not enough just to say the right things. Now, guess what? I have this high value for you. I have this vision for you. I have this dream for you. Guess what? I'm all in. What will it take? What will it take for me to help you accomplish this? Because you need to know I'm here ready to do that. I'm here ready to accomplish and ready to help you in any way I can. That's why I'm here. I think you're going to have an awesome future. You have high value, and you need to know I'm here for you. I'm here. I'm all in. I'm ready to do that. Those all go into all these blessings in the book of Genesis. All these elements go into what this looks like to be blessed and to give a blessing. So, things to consider, some questions that how we are patterning this series as we go through Jacob's story. Just being asked some questions, okay? How about this? What happens when our blessing is tied to our accomplishments? See, this is what happens. I don't know if you've caught yourself doing this, but sometimes you will. Sometimes the only time we tell our kids we are proud of them and we love them is when they do something good. So in other words, the report card comes home. And it's not that we mean to do this. This is just what happens. We just don't think about it. And they come home, and here's this A report card. Oh, awesome job. I am so proud of you. I love you. You're awesome. Okay? So guess what happens? Okay? Let's say they just announced this in our own city. Like Little League. Time for All-Stars, right? Everybody's got their picture on their Facebook page. My kid's an All-Star. This, right? Awesome. However, what if that's the only time you hear that? Guess what begins to enter into our minds? And I just started thinking about this. I'm only loved. I'm only good when I accomplish something. Now, if you think that is bad in earthly relationships, it is an absolute disaster when we get to God. Because now, guess what I think? Oh, I gotta impress God today, okay? And then when we've had a less than impressive week, and come on, we can all confess that's been there quite often. Guess what we do? We're like, oh, I don't know if I should go to church this morning. God can't really be pleased with me. Why? Well, I didn't accomplish much this week. I was really bad this week. I said things I shouldn't say this week. I did this. And we start listing off all these things. And now we look and we picture God the same way. Oh, he really can't love me this week. It was too bad. See what happens? And we don't mean it for happen. There's not a parent in the world who's like, oh, yeah. Oh, I've been doing that. And when you realize you're doing that, all of a sudden you go, oh, I got to change that because I don't want my kids to think that's the only time I love them and I'm proud of them is when they do something good. Because guess what? That sets them up for a pattern to walk away from God because they don't think they've been impressive enough for him. I wonder how many of that for you is that your story. And I wonder how many of you, God will just help you see how often this has been the pattern that you've created in your home. You didn't mean to. It's just, oh, it's report card day, right? And, you know, then that certain letter appears, right? That's below what we think, and we don't know what to do. And sometimes we say the wrong things, you know. Come on, why are you doing that? And all of a sudden we start tying our blessing, our love, we're proud of you, to accomplishments. And we are really then setting up the next generation to not understand who God is. And again, nobody means to do this, okay? Please, understand me. Nobody means to do this, but it's probably happened to just about everybody in the room, everybody watching online, you can attest, this has happened to you. and it affects your walk with your Heavenly Father. Second question, what happens when we refuse to do the awkward thing for the best of our children? Come on, some of this is awkward. It is. It is. Well, I'm going to feel my weird putting my arm around my kid. They're a teenager. They don't want me to touch them. They don't want me within 6 feet of them, okay? They were the ones that were applauding. Social distance, 6 feet away, okay? They walked around with a 6-foot measuring tape saying, this is going to be my life. Parents, stay away, okay? What do you do? It's going to be awkward. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely, it's going to be awkward. They want nothing to do with you, right? They're like, oh, this is going to sound weird. Yep. But what happens when we refuse to do that? I mean, sometimes we just have to step out of awkward, be in awkward, and just be like, oh, well, in order to do it. Yeah, you just have to do it. It's either going to be awkward or it's going to be something we're going to talk about later. But I'm wondering, are we doing that? Are we saying, yeah, I know I should tell my kids more often. I should know I should love on them more and stuff, but it's so awkward and they don't want me near them and you don't understand. It's just awkward saying those things. And especially, come on, all the guys in the room, it's really awkward for us. You know, we're just like, what do we talk about? The weather. Let's talk about the weather. Isn't that our go-to? And come on, being here in Central Iowa, it always cooperates, right? It's either snowing on Easter or it's 102 degrees. I mean, we just don't get anything else. So it's perfect. We're like, oh, I had to talk about the weather. It's so easy to do because it's a lot easier than to say something that might make a difference because we're like, oh, this is just weird. It's awkward. I hope you are willing to step into awkward in order for the next generation. And yeah, it's awkward. It is awkward. But I would urge you to step into awkward because I think if we don't, it's problematic if we don't step into that. What happens generationally when fathers are absent? So this week I decided, you know what, I'm going to see, you know, there's all sorts of organizations out there. There's the National Fatherhood Initiative. So I wanted to see how recent their stats were. And so they updated everything last year. And let me tell you, it's not encouraging. Okay? Currently, right now, there are 18.4 million children, that's million with an M, one in four, without a biological step or adoptive father at home. That's a lot. One in four. Next time you see kids running around, one, two, three, four. Oh, my goodness. It's that present. Now, they talk about all the things that are at risk. Okay? You have a 4-time greater risk of poverty. More likely to have behavior problems. 2 times greater risk of infant mortality. More likely to go to prison. More likely to commit a crime. 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen. More likely to face abuse and neglect. More likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. 2 times more likely to drop out of schools. These are not encouraging. Okay? Here's what they don't tell you. Okay? What happens in the next generation? See, this is all one generation. That's all they look at. What happens to the next generation if they don't do something different? Well, I'm guessing it's not going to go well if you're in prison, if you're committing crimes. It's not going to go well for the next generation after that. See the problem? Generationally, it gets worse. You think it's bad after the first? I don't think anybody wants to study what it is after the second and the third. Because unless there is a turnaround, redemption in Jesus, okay, unless there's a big turnaround, it's just going to get worse. It's just going to get worse. There's just no way around it. You start thinking about that, you're like, wow. And yet, here is the great news. The enemy loves to tell us. Loves to tell us, it's too late. It's too late, right? Some of you are sitting here and you're like, my kid's in his 20s. What am I going to do now? It's way too late. I probably should have done this. So And in other words, then we say, then we convince ourselves, it's too late. I can't do anything. Wrong. See, that's not the gospel. Okay? That might be the way our culture talks. That is certainly not the way Scripture speaks. Can you imagine for Saul on the road to Damascus if Jesus met him and said, man, I'm sorry it's too late. Okay? It's too late for you. I wish you had started earlier and you'd not have persecuted my church. It would have been so much better. No. No, we have the exact opposite message. Hey, Saul, let's turn it around. And he meets Jesus and he turns around. He goes by the name of Paul. And it's an immediate turnaround. So much so that everybody's like, what are you doing in our church? Aren't you supposed to be throwing us in jail? Okay, we don't like it that you're here. And he's here preaching the message of Jesus. That's how fast the turnaround was. Because he never believed it was too late. And I need all of you to hear this. It is not too late. I don't care if your kids are 40, 60, okay? I don't care. It is not too late. You're alive. If you're not dead, you're not done. So if you're alive, it is not too late, no matter how old your kids are. Yeah, would it probably help if you started when they were two? I'm certain it would have. We can't do that, okay? We can't hop in the DeLorean and go 88 miles an hour and go back in time. Therefore, you're stuck now. So how do I go forward and help with God helping me redeem the past and create a different future? I mean, if we don't believe that, then stop reading the Bible. I mean, we have to, everybody believes that. God never says it's too late. There is always time to turn it around and see something different happen. Okay, so life application here. Here we go. At the minimum, bare minimum, dads, parents, would you pray for your family every day? Bare minimum. Bare minimum. And that can be, God, I don't know what to do about my family. That counts, okay? I just want you to know that counts. If you don't know what to do, you can pray that prayer, okay? But every morning you should get up and you should pray for your family. Pray for your kids, what activities they're in. I know you're like, that's weird. That's awkward. Yes, that's exactly what we're talking about earlier. It is. What if you stopped for 30 seconds, okay? I'm not telling you you got to pray for 5 hours, okay? Pray for your family. Pray for your kids. At a bare minimum, just start there. Just start there. For all of you who think, oh, it's too late, it's too late. No. Let's start there. Tomorrow morning, get up. We're going to pray for our family. We're going to pray for our family. And it doesn't matter if you don't know what to pray. I'm telling you, just start there. Start really, really simple. And just start getting up every day and praying for your family. Number two, I will either bless my children, or I will let the enemy deceive them into looking for a blessing in the wrong place. That's what I need you to hear from me. It's not like if you don't do it, well, nothing happens. The enemy's too good for that. He will sneak in there, and he will have them look for that blessing somewhere else. They will go searching for it. They will go looking for a place where people do love them and do accept them and are proud of them for who they are. And they will turn their back on everything you believe and everything you have taught them in order to get that blessing. That's what you need to know. And they will go run and do that as often as possible. They will go look for it. And we have generations now looking for blessings in all the wrong places because they didn't get it at home. And it's a bad place. And I'm telling you, I'm either going to do this or I am setting up my kids to go try to find it somewhere else. And listen, they might go off to Harvard Law School looking for a blessing and say, man, if I accomplish that, that will be enough. Because they just don't think anybody's proud of them, loves them, accepts them for who they are instead of what they accomplish. God can overcome, and he can break generational patterns in our family. That's what I was telling you about earlier. Please, it is not too late. Don't ever think that. If you do, I'm telling you, then you should never read the Bible. But that sounds bad for a pastor to say that, right? But you shouldn't. Because obviously, you haven't got the message of God turning things around constantly. Because it's never too late. He always turns it around. He will always can redeem. Everything can be bought back, can redeem. It doesn't matter where you start from. It's where are you now, and are you willing to ask God to redeem it and change and go in a new direction? Because he can overcome and he can break generational patterns in our families. And let's just be honest. Probably every family in here, every family watching me, have somewhere in your past, have somewhere, if you looked up far enough, if you heard enough stories, where you had a generational pattern that flipped. It did. You already have this in your family. For some of it, you are that person. You are the person God redeemed and God changed, and he changed the trajectory of your family because of what he did in you. You already know this. So, guess what? He can do this. And I want you to know that. Today is not a day where you just feel bad about yourself. Today is a day where you say, God can redeem everything, and I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to do what I can and do my part to watch him redeem everything in my family. So are you trusting the story that God is writing? I know there's a whole lot about blessing because it's just so important, and I've realized how much I didn't know so much of this. And I'm trying to learn this. And I'm trying to do better at this. Because I have to make sure that Stephen understands. I do not love him. I'm not proud of him because he has a master's degree. And if that's the only time he ever heard me say that to him, guess what he would think? Okay, I got a master's. What's next? Okay, what's next? Because that worked. I do not love him. I'm not proud of him just because he's an associate pastor. Okay, that is not why. I've had to learn this too, guys, because I was stuck in the same pattern. Okay, it was only when the report card was good. It was only when the accomplishments were good, and I had to recognize this myself. And I just thank God that I did it at an earlier point than today. However, watch him redeem it. Watch him change it. And yes, it's awkward. It means when you're sitting on a golf cart, you have conversations that are awkward. It just does. And it's okay because when you hit the golf ball as bad as I do, he's laughing anyway. So it all works. God just takes those moments and gives them to you. Use those moments. Yeah, it's going to be awkward. But I'd love to see what God will do if we would just trust the story that he is writing. So I'm going to do something a little different this morning as we end. Because, again, I don't know how much this has ever happened to all of us. So you don't have to be a father. I want to say that up front. But for all the men in the room, I would like to read a blessing over you. Because, again, I don't know if this ever happened in your life. I don't know if you've ever felt blessed. But I would actually like you to stand where you're at. I know you're like, oh, my goodness. Okay, it's okay. It's okay. I would like you to stand where you're at, and I would like to read this blessing over you as really a prayer that you would know how much you're blessed and how much I think you're amazing and awesome, how much God thinks you're amazing and awesome, and that you would just accept this blessing today. So if the men in the room would please stand, I'm going to read this to you this morning. To the men of this church, to the men of Thrive, to the men who are watching, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May you walk with your heavenly Father who loves you and created you on purpose and for a purpose. May you know, if you're not married, the blessing of a wife and a godly marriage and the blessings that God provides in a marriage. May your children know that they are loved by you and you are proud of them, not for what they do, but who they are. They are your son, they are your daughter, and that is enough. May for those of you in the room are watching, our grandfathers, may your grandchildren find refuge and strength in you. May you recognize your true identity is not in your work, your title, your position, but is ultimately in Him, your Heavenly Father. May you be a blessing to your workplace. May you be able to give your best no matter what. May you know that the gifts and hobbies that you enjoy are all blessings from your Heavenly Father. May you learn to trust the story that God is writing of your life. The story is good, and He will fulfill the desires of your hearts. May you learn the intimacy our Heavenly Father wants to have with you and walk with you on a daily basis. And may you never forget His love, which is a love that never stops loving. You will stumble and you will fall, but you are never out of reach from a Heavenly Father who will help you up and give you the strength to move forward. Blessings in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray this blessing over the men, both in this room, watching online. I don't know if they've ever heard these words before. I pray they would accept them from me. I pray, Father, they would accept them from you. You love them. You are proud of them. You want to bless them, not because of what they accomplished, but because who they are. They are your son and they're your daughter. I pray for all of the people in the room that they would know your blessing. I pray for those watching online. They would know how blessed they are by you. And may we be willing now to receive that blessing to go in turn give it to the next generation. May we do that. May you work in our hearts and our lives. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our prayer team is over to the side this morning. You can pray for them about anything. They will love to pray with you and help you do that. And if everybody would stand, we are going to close in worship this morning.